We'll turn in the scriptures, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And as you have the scriptures open, it's always right and profitable and important to take a moment just to seek the Lord. It's good to do that at home when you come to your own Bible readings. And it's important for us to do it as a congregation too, in the preaching and in the meditation upon God's Word. We'll just seek the Lord together. Father, remember these little ones as our earnest prayer. Watch over them and bless them, those that have that great responsibility now just to speak to them and guide them in the things of God. We pray, Father, for more little ones to be brought in, to be gathered into this house. Lord, it's our prayer that you'll do a mighty work, even in this Armagh city. Bring in many people to this place, even for the first time. Want to ask, Lord, that there'll be an increase given in the cause of God here. We're conscious, Father, of how important it is to see the young families and the children present in thy house. Lord, remember us as we linger on. We ask that you'll remember this church, those in great need. We think of quite a number of our families, even with loved ones seriously ill. Remember young Matthew tomorrow. Pray you'll be with him. Remember Sarah. Continue your hand, your mighty hand of healing upon her too. Remember William Stothers there in the hospital. Strengthen William. Think of Rodney McMurray, Rodney Bale too. They pass through the treatment in such great need, even at this time. Lord, just remember these dear folk, their families too, the heavy burdens upon their hearts. Pray that you'll give them strength. Well, thank you, Father, that you've said you're our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Come to the help of all these families. Think of others, Father, laid aside, not able to be here, because of colds and flus, even at this season. Pray that they would know your presence and encouragement this Sabbath day. The elderly, the aged of the congregation too. We thank you, Father, for the memory of their presence and labours even amongst us here. We thank you for their faithfulness in days past. And Lord, just draw near. And we pray that they would know the hand of God resting mightily upon them. Bless this meeting now. Lord, come down upon the gathering. Give help to the preacher. We pray, Father, that liberty, only that liberty that only the Spirit of God can give, may be granted now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. And we're going to read the verses 12 and 13, just of the portion together. 1 Thessalonians 5, and the verse 12 says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love, for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." We've been engaged in a little series entitled "The Church We Ought to Be," and how important that is. The Bible doesn't just give us guidance personally for the Christian life. The Bible gives us guidance collectively as a congregation and as a church. Those things that we ought to aim at, those things we ought to work for, those things that ought to mark and to characterize every New Testament church. A church that is going to be healthy and a church that will be in the place where God can bless it. It's a vital theme. It's just a few more messages. Next Sabbath, the following Sabbath, we'll bring a Christmas message. And then in the will of God, bring the series to conclusion on the final Sabbath of this year. We've thought of matters such as how to behave in the house of God. We've thought as well about the consequences of murmuring. What happens when God's people murmur? We thought last week about the need, the importance for faithful and consistent attendance at the local church. at the house of God and all that takes place. And today we're going to think about what our attitude ought to be to the office bearers of the church. Give them their place is the title of today's Bible study. We have 10 office bearers in this congregation in all, 5 elders and 5 deacons, 5 committee men as we often describe them. And I want today to encourage you to give them, the office bearers of this church, their rightful place in the church and in the work of God. Because, brethren and sisters, often what happens is the elders and the deacons are treated by the people, by the congregation, in a way that is shameful and disgraceful, to say the very least. And how solemn that is. Of course, if a leader acts disgracefully, that is a different thing. But I want us to think just of how we ought to act toward them. Can I point out to you this morning, the Bible teaches what offices there are in the church. When we think of the offices that ought to be appointed, we look to the Bible for guidance. And the Bible also tells us those that should be elected into the offices of the church. It sets out the qualifications, the characteristics of the people that should be chosen for the offices of the church. It also tells us how men should be elected into the offices of the church. And in the will of God, in the future, at some stage, we will look at all of those things when, in the providence and will of God, another election comes around in this congregation. But in addition to all of those things, brethren and sisters, the offices in the church, who should be elected, how they should be elected, the Bible also teaches how we as a congregation should treat those that have been elected into those offices. And that is an area of church life that is often overlooked. And yet the Bible has much to say upon it, especially how the elders of the church ought to be treated. And our text today is an example of that theme and of that truth. Now, there must have been those in the church at Thessalonica not giving the leaders the respect that they were due. And that's why Paul took up this theme. That's why God guided him by his Spirit to include that subject here in this part of the letter. I want to point out that this verse, that this message today, it's not a license for leaders to do what they like. It's not a license for leaders to throw their weight about and lord it over the flock, as Peter spoke about in his first epistle. People should respect the leaders of the church. But remember that the opposite is true as well. The leaders should respect the people of the church also. But our title today, our subject is, give them their place. That's the message of these verses. And it's the message, with God's help, I want to leave upon your hearts this morning. Let us consider how we should give them their place. There's a number of matters that Paul emphasizes, outlines, sets out for us here. It means, first of all, that you should hear the leaders of the church. Notice there verse 12 of the chapter. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you and are over you in the Lord. And notice these words, and admonish you. You're to hear the leaders of the church. The word admonish, it means to warn against bad behaviour and to warn against the consequences of that bad behaviour. And remember that admonishment can include the need for discipline in a person's life. If I could point out to you, the Bible clearly teaches the need for discipline in the church. And the first form of discipline is admonition, what Paul's speaking about here. That is, to speak to a person and to warn them about their actions. And there's times believers do need to be warned. You notice the verse 14, right after our text, he says, "We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." Or the word unruly there gives the idea of being disorderly. So there's times, Paul makes it clear even here, there are times that believers need to be warned about their lifestyle, about the things that they're doing. Christians can go astray. Christians can fall into sin. Remember in the Bible, the church, the believer, is described as sheep. And the nature of sheep is to wander off. You think of Jonah, we studied him last year at length, ran away, wandered off from the will of God for his life. Think of Peter, one of the foremost of the apostles, and think of how he grew cold. Peter became a backslider, got away from the Lord. Christians do go astray. Maybe that's the condition of some here in this meeting this morning. You know you're not in the place with God where you ought to be. And sometimes when that happens, what is needed is not for the elders to turn a blind eye to it or to overlook it. There's the need maybe for the person to be spoken to be admonished, to be warned about the course that they're on. You think of it like this, in the light of what Paul's saying here. If a church leader out of concern called you aside to speak to you about something that you'd done, something that you'd said, the places that you were going to, the company that you were keeping, how would you react to that? How would you take that word of counsel, that word of admonition? Would you tell them to get lost? Would that be the reaction, the response? Mind their own business? Well, remember, we would be minding our own business as shepherds of the flock, watching over the sheep. The New Testament clearly says that we're to watch for your souls as they that must give an account. How would you react? Paul says here what his message is, you should give them a hearing. You should listen to what is being said. You should accept the word of admonition. How to treat the officers of the church? One thing is you're to hear them. He also says here that you're to heed them or obey them. If you look at that 12th verse again, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you and are over you in the Lord. Notice those words, are over you. Just as a father is over the home, and as a shepherd is over the flock, and as a captain is over the army, so too the elders are over the church. They have a position of authority, a God-given position of authority in the church of Jesus Christ. They make decisions. The office bearers as a whole make decisions. Some not easy, some not pleasant. But the reality is, God expects his people to accept and obey the decisions that are made. The book of Hebrews, obey them that have the rule over you. It's very clear, isn't it? Elders are to be obeyed in the church. Don't complain, don't criticize, don't murmur. Because remember, as we considered a few weeks ago, God takes no pleasure in the murmurings and the complainings of his people. God takes no pleasure in murmuring about what his leaders are doing. Do you remember that's why the Lord sent in the fiery serpents among his people in the wilderness? It was because they complained about the way that Moses and Aaron were leading the people. So don't complain about the leaders. The teaching of the Bible is to obey them. It is true, you will not like, you will not agree, you will not be pleased with every decision. But the reality, you are to heed them nonetheless. And isn't it true, men and women, you didn't like every decision that your father made whenever you were growing up in the home. But there came a day when you grew a little older and became a little more mature. You came to understand that what he was doing is what he thought was best for the home and for the family and for your life. And so it is in the life of the church. The leaders seek to do what is best for God's family, for the work of God, for the congregation for which they have been given the oversight. That doesn't mean they'll always be right. Leaders are not infallible. There's only one religion that has a leader that claims to be infallible. At times, mistakes will be made. You think of Abraham, made a mistake and went down into Egypt. Made a mistake as well in the situation regarding Hagar. Think of Moses, the great mistake that he made when he struck the rock when God told him to speak to it. And for that mistake, God kept him out of the promised land. Think of John Mark, the great mistake he made as a young man when he went not with them to the work, ran away back home to the comforts of the home life. Leaders can be wrong. Every leader, even the greatest, I've given you some examples, every person can be wrong and make mistakes. The difference between the mistakes of leaders and the folk in the pew is that their mistakes are more public, but it shows that they're just men of the best. And when they are wrong, make mistakes, don't write them off. Don't slander them. When they acknowledge the wrong that has been done, the Bible says it should be forgiven. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Do you have that tender-heartedness today, that forgiving spirit in your heart? Forgiving one another, even as God, there's the standard you're to follow. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The words there just don't apply to the forgiveness you have the one with the other. It applies to all in the church, the leaders, the office bearers of the church as well. So you're to hear them, you're to heed them. He says as well you're to honour them. Look there at the 13th verse. He says, esteem them, and notice the words carefully, very highly in love for their work's sake. Esteem them very highly in love. Remember, and those of you that have and do hold office know this to be true, being a leader in the church is a very difficult task. There are many burdens to carry. Paul talked about the care of all the churches. Remember that for an office bearer, in addition to the cares of life, the cares of the home, the cares of the family, they have the care, the burden, the responsibility of the work of God. There are many battles to be fought in the work of God. Wasn't it Ann Ross Cousins wrote those words about the life of Samuel Rutherford? I've wrestled on towards heaven against wind and storm and tide, and like a weary traveller that leaneth on his guide. There are many storms, many battles to be faced in the work of God. Often attacked, often lied about. Remember that. Not everything that you hear is true. Often lied about, often criticised. Didn't the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians say that you'll get to heaven through good report and ill report? There's times the things that will be said will be good and right. There's other times the things that will be said about you will be wrong and untruthful. And what is needed, men and women, is for God's servants to be encouraged, God's servants to be honoured in the work that they do. Remember, in the workplace, in your day-to-day job and business, they honour people for their work and for their commitment. That is true of the world. Honours are given, recognition is made of service and length of service and so on. And so it ought to be in the Church of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you to think of the question this morning? Why would you wait until a man is dead before you speak of the great job that he did? Why would you wait until he's no longer among you before you acknowledge the years of faithful service that have been given? We're to esteem them very highly in love. Remember that little word, don't forget it. In love. Love should be shown among the people of God and toward the office bearers of the church as well. Samuel said, them that honour me, I will honour. God honours his people. God honors his servants. You know, there's times if the Lord didn't honor his servants, that no one else would. At times the Christians, even the church as a whole, is far too selfish, far too jealous to bother to give any honor or recognition to the Lord's servants. And how sad that is. The verse says, esteem them very highly in love. Note the words carefully. Very highly in love. For the work's sake. For the task that God has given. The work that they do. For the responsibility that the Lord has entrusted them with. They should be highly honoured among the people of God. It's the clear teaching, men and women, of the New Testament scriptures. Paul, writing to Timothy, he said, let the elder that rules well be counted worthy of double honour. Notice the words, men and women, not just honour, but double honour. And in actual fact, if you read those words carefully, in the context in which they're written, it has to do with financial remuneration for the work and the service that is given. You think of how the world honours its leaders. Well, what Paul is saying is that the church is to do twice as much. The double portion is to be given in recognition of the work of its leaders. And remember that, men and women, when you're talking at the dinner table today. Remember it carefully. Remember to honour the office bearers of this church before your family in the things that you say, the one to the other. Dr. Cook used to give a little illustration. He would tell the students in the college, don't you think that on a Sunday morning your congregation's going home to chew the Sunday roast? They're going home to chew you, to chew over your life and the things that were said in the message that morning. Remember to honour the office bearers of the church in the things you say at the table. Another thing he says here, we're to harmonise with the office bearers. The end of verse 13, notice the words. He says, be at peace among yourselves. Do you remember when Moses came down from the mount, from Mount Sinai, after receiving the Ten Commandments? The Bible says there was a noise of war in the camp. And doesn't that describe many churches and congregations today, men and women? There's the noise of war. And you hear it from every corner, increasingly, across the province and across the world. The noise of war among God's people. You think of the church at Corinth. Envy, strife, divisions. It's not a sad description of a congregation of God's people. Envying one another, there was strife. That's to do with a conflict that was going on, divisions. There was various little groups and cliques in the congregation. How sad that is, men and women. There's a need to be in harmony, a need to be in peace in the church of Jesus Christ. And especially in the light of what we're talking about, the context, those words are written there. There needs to be harmony and peace between the leaders and the people of the church as well. If you turn over the Bible a page, just to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse 6. This is what it says, saying it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Mark the words. He speaks of those that were troubling the church. Those that were troubling the leaders of the church. It needs to be emphasized, men and women, the church is not exempt from those that cause it trouble. It happens in life. It happens in business. And it happens in the work of God as well. There are some members, and they feel it's their calling in life always to be attacking the elders. Always to be attacking the deacons. Always to be making life hard for the leaders and office bearers of the church. The attitude of some Christians is, well, we'll sort them out. Brethren and sisters, there's a need to harmonize with the leaders of the church. Doesn't it happen in the choir when a group is singing together? And there should be that same harmonizing in the church of Jesus Christ. Don't be one of those people that troubles Israel. Remember those words recorded in the Old Testament scriptures? You think of this exhortation. Be at peace. Be at peace among yourselves. George Sweeting, Dr. George Sweeting, when he was the pastor of the great Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, they had a board, the board of elders that ran that great church in his day. It numbered 70 men. Can you imagine a meeting of that board? And the differences of opinion, the debate that would take place in a meeting, sometimes it can be difficult enough to get unity amongst a smaller number without a board of 70. Well, Dr. Sweeting, on one occasion, he brought a machete with him to the meeting. It had been given to him by missionaries when they were home on furlough. And he set the machete down on the desk in front of him as he was about to commence the meeting. And he looked up and looked round upon every man in the meeting and he said, "Brethren, there'll be no fighting here in this meeting tonight." Well, brethren and sisters, let me lay another sword on the table today. The sword of the Spirit of the Lord. And can I ask you, as God's people, to listen to its message? Let there be no fighting in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let there be no fighting in this church. Let there be no fighting with the officers, the office bearers of this church. Take that message to heart today, men and women. Be at peace among yourselves. Can I remind you of those words? I've quoted them already. The great text in Hebrews chapter 13. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And listen to these words. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You see, whenever every office bearer of the church, every elder of the church will stand before God at the judgment seat, they will have to account for their own life, their own home, their own service. But in addition to that, a greater burden and responsibility that is given, Paul says there is, they watch for your souls. They watch for the lives of the people the Lord has given them the oversight over. They watch for your souls as they that must give an account. And when they stand before God, the Lord will say, what about that man? Tell me about that woman in the church. They'll have to give a report, have to give an account. Will it be a grieving one, brethren and sisters? Will it be one that for you will be unprofitable? Will they have to stand before God at that great judgment and say, Lord, well, that Christian was always fighting with us, that they were always in the attitude of strife. It was hard to get on with the work, hard to make progress, hard to press on in the things of God because of the fights that that person always caused in the church. Brethren and sisters, harmonize. Harmonize with each other. And harmonize as well with the leaders of the local congregation. One other thing, just quickly. Give them their place. The final thing is, we're to help them. You notice there, verse 12, he says, know them which labor among you. The word labor there, it is the idea of working to the point of exhaustion. When you grow weary in the work. And elders and deacons work hard. I can assure you of that. Your elders, your deacons, they all work very hard indeed. Much of that work is never seen, never known. It's what we would describe as being done behind the scenes. Often when people are elected for the first time on the committee, on the session, they are amazed at the amount of work that has to be done. And what those office bearers need, brethren and sisters from the church, from the congregation, is this. They need the help and the support of God's people. Whenever they were building St. Paul's Cathedral in London, Sir Christopher Wren, the architect, would go around and he would speak to all the workers. And he came to one man and he asked him what he was doing. He says, "I'm earning a daily wage." That was what was in his mind. That was his attitude. He asked the second man, "Well, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm breaking up all of these stones." That's the thoughts that he had. The third man that he came to, he said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Sir, I'm helping to build this great church." And men and women, that's the right attitude. That's the attitude we should adopt as God's people. Seek to help. Help the elders. Help the deacons here. Help them in this task, brethren and sisters, to build this great church. To build this church so that it becomes a great church in this city, in this county, even in this land. Help men and women in this great task of the spreading of the gospel and of the winning of souls. Remember that hindering God's servants, that's the devil's work. Remember that. Paul said, "Satan hindered me." And you don't want to be involved in that work. You don't want to be doing the same work that the devil is doing. Help those in office in the church, brethren and sisters. Help them by your prayers. Can I urge you to pray every day for every leader in this church, every person that has a leadership responsibility? Pray for them privately, and also pray for them publicly in the church prayer meetings. Ask the Lord to give them wisdom and grace and strength. Paul said, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." Here's a way that you can help. Here's a way you can be involved. Here's a way that you can be a co-worker with those in leadership. You can pray. You can be helping together by prayer for them. And also, tell the elders, tell the committee men, tell the leaders that you're praying for them. Assure them of that. What a blessing that would be, brethren and sisters. The great Calvary Baptist Church in New York many years ago, Dr. Stuart MacArthur came. It was a vast church, many programs, vast responsibility. After the first year, the office bearers were concerned that Dr. MacArthur wasn't going to make it, wasn't going to be able to cope with the pressures that were placed upon him in that congregation. And what the office bearers did was they banded together and they made a promise, a pledge among themselves that they would earnestly pray for their pastor. And he stayed 40 years. And his ministry was so blessed and effective among them that they named one of the halls that was built during his time there after him, built it and named it in his honour. You need to pray. Need to encourage them, help them by the prayers of God's people. And as well as that, praise them. Leaders need a wee word of praise, a wee word of encouragement. Did you ever notice Moses in his final address to the children of Israel when he spoke about Joshua? Remember I said to you, because he disobeyed God and he smote the rock the second time, the Lord didn't let him into the promised land, and Joshua was being raised up as the new leader of God's people. And this is the message that Moses gave the congregation of Israel with regard to Joshua. Encourage him. That's a short message. Pointed. But how important it is, brethren and sisters. Perhaps when Moses gave that message to the children of Israel, he was thinking of how little they had encouraged him in the great work that he had done for them. There was a famous pastor, Dr. R.W. Deal, in Birmingham. A good number of years ago, he was prone to fits of depression. One day, he was walking down the street in Birmingham and the dark cloud hanging over him. And he met a lady, a member of his church. She was a wee bit shy and reserved, had never spoke to him very much before. But at the side of the street, she said, "God bless you, Dr. Dale. If you could only know how you have made me feel hundreds of times, and what a happy home you have given to me, God bless you." And that simple little statement, it lifted the pastor, lifted the minister, strengthened and encouraged his heart. Encouragement is a great help, brethren and sisters. We ought to be encouragers. We ought to be Barnabas's sons of consolation. A great help. It's like a medicine. Just that wee word. That simple little word of exhortation. Paul says of Onesiphorus, "He oft refreshed me." There's a member of the church, and he's encouraging one of the leaders of the church. And did you notice the wee word there, "oft"? He did it regularly, did it continually. And that's the sort of help, brethren and sisters, the wee word that all leaders in the work of God need. And I encourage you to give it. I'll say this to you as a finish. Leslie Flynn, for 40 years, was the pastor of the Baptist Church in Nanuet in New York State. His mother was a godly woman. And he remembered as he grew up that his mother was often grieved when she heard of church leaders being mistreated by the congregation. And this is what she would say. And this statement stayed with him all his days. When she heard about the church leaders being mistreated, she would utter these words, "Who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" And what a warning that is, men and women. The need to be careful. Need to be very careful how you treat the servants of God. The message of this portion of scripture is simply this. Give them their place. Give them their God-given place in the church of Christ and in the work of God. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. May God bless his word today to every heart. 482, just a verse or two